Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
We're straight into this message today. I'm finishing up a series about Easter promises and about promises in general. God has given us some great promises, amen? He's given us some incredible promises. We talked a couple of weeks ago when God started me on this journey through these scriptures. See, God's promises are always true. Okay, y'all missed an opportunity. God's promises are always true. Doesn't matter what the world says, doesn't matter what the world looks like, His promises are true. You'll have to forgive me, my voice is trying to go on me, so y'all are going to have to help me preach and be loud today to keep me encouraged. But when God started me down this journey through the scriptures to the Resurrection Sunday, I got to admit I was a little skeptical because I saw where He was going and I wasn't sure how He was going to finish this promise, this promised message. The other messages, see, I really didn't know how He was going to tie it into today. I know that He made a promise that He was going to come back from the grave, and I understand that's a promise, but I'm like, how are you going to tie everything together to let us go forward with this? And the first few made sense to me. The promised king. It was foretold over 400 years before He walked on the earth that Jesus would bring peace and mercy to His people, and He would bring it riding on a donkey. Check, done. Triumphal entry, He came in riding on a donkey. You know, that's what I sound like today. But God can use a donkey to bring about His peace, amen? I don't mind Him using me today. But listen, check, that one's done. Then the next week we talked about this past Friday, if you missed Friday night's communion service, I got to tell you, that's one of my absolute favorite services of the entire year. It's one of the most intimate services of the entire year. And it's just an incredible, incredible time where we get to remember the sacrifice that He made and the promised grace that He gives us. He promised us grace. He promised us mercy. He promised us something that we didn't deserve. He promised where a sacrifice would be given on a cross to cover His people's sins, and not just for a time, but for all eternity. 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross, but that grace is still available to us today through the promise of Jesus Christ, through the promise of His blood. That's why I wanted to sing that song the blood of Jesus. Y'all can tell I can't sing today. But oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. See, the perfect sacrifice would provide a way for us to be with Him for eternity. He promised that the least of these, the very first person to experience grace on this earth, was the criminal hanging on the cross next to Him. Don't tell me you don't deserve the grace of God, because if the criminal that hung next to Him deserves His grace, you deserve it all that much more. Doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter what your past is, doesn't matter what you're struggling with today, you still have grace promised to you. And that grace can be poured out and made and help make you clean. If you understand me, say I do. So check mark. The promise of grace was done. Now we come to Resurrection Sunday where the atmosphere has changed. Come on, smile at me. Turn to somebody and smile. This is Resurrection Sunday, y'all. Y'all act like you're still dead in your bed. Come on now. But it's Resurrection Sunday where the atmosphere has changed. The last week of Jesus' life here on earth before today has been a roller coaster of emotions. We celebrated His arrival. Then we remembered His sorrow and pain and His crucifixion and His death. The silence of Saturday where all creation held its breath in anticipation of the promised return. And then Sunday morning, The sun rose in the sky, and the sun rose from the grave. Come on, somebody. I thought about approaching today from many different views. The spectacular happenings at the tomb where the earth shook and the soldiers were so scared that they fell dead before men. I mean, not didn't fall. They fell down like dead men. They passed out. They fainted. Holy Spirit knocked them out and went, psh! Said, lay down, take a nap. And then the stone was rolled away. I thought about talking about the spectacular events that maybe there was light that shone everywhere, that there was amazing things that happened, and all the angels shouted and cried, and as the earth shook and Jesus rose. And I thought about it going from that direction. I thought about talking about the significance of the sacrifice that he paid for us, and the significance of how he rose from the grave, and it symbolized the fact that we no longer are held by the grave. And that's important for us to know. It's important for us to remember that we are not held by the grave anymore. Come on, somebody. One day we're going to have the opportunity to stand before God, still living in the Spirit, and worship him in spirit and in truth like we never could before. Doesn't matter what song is on the wall. Doesn't matter what music's being played. It doesn't matter who's standing next to us. Doesn't matter what day it is. We're going to be able to shout praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for an eternity. I thought about going the intellectual route and trying to allegorize the meaning behind every detail. Behind the rolling of the cross, or the rolling of the stone. Behind the folded clothes that were next, that were next to, left on the altar or on the gravesite, because there is some meaning behind that. Because they say that if in that culture, while you're eating, if you are done with your meal, you take your napkin and just lay it across the plate, and they know that you're done, so they pick it up and they take it away. But if you plan to return to your meal, if you plan to come back and finish what you started, you take that napkin and you fold it neatly and nice and neatly and put it beside where that food was, so that they know, I'm not done yet. I'm coming back. We're told that Jesus' robes that he was buried in were folded nice and neat on this side. See, I thought about going that route, but I said, no. I want to shout right now, y'all. It may be the steroids in my body from where I'm fighting this thing with my throat, but I don't know. I'm excited. But the thing is, I thought about going about the allegorical route. I thought about going the intellectual route. I thought about going all kinds of, but God led me to Luke, where Luke simply explains what happened. And I felt God share with me what today's duty is for me. It's very simple. It's going to be very quick. I believe God simply told me to tell you. He said, tell my story. He said, tell my story. But he also said, and remind them I keep my promises. Tell my story and help me and remind them I keep my promises. See, I want to tell you his story first, the story after the cross. The story after the cross. Before we start, let me catch you up on what you may not remember or where we're at in the story. Days before, Jesus had been taken into an illegal kangaroo court that was held on Thursday night, early hours of Friday morning, and drugged back and forth between places and as he was tried. He was whipped, beaten, starved, mistreated, brutally treated like one of the worst criminals that would ever live. He was beaten down. His beard was ripped out. He was given lashes on his back from what they call the cat of nine tails that had pieces of metal and glass that were woven into the leather that would rip through his skin and cut through his skin like razors. He was hung on a cross between two criminals with the same fate and died around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. His body was taken and laid in a tomb, and they did not have time to dress the body. When I say that, they took him, and again, Jesus was naked on the cross. He had no undergarments, no nothing on. They took him, and they took him. The only thing they had time to do was wrap him up and put him inside of a tomb, because Passover was the next day, and they couldn't do no work, and they could do nothing after sundown. So they had to quickly take his body down, wrap him up, put him in the tomb, and close it up. It was normal for them to dress the body, clean the body, get everything prepared properly for burial. And then they would take spices and rub them all over the body and put them on strips of cloth. They didn't have time to do all that. So what they did was they put him in the body or in the grave and said, "We'll come back when Passover is over and we'll take care of it then." See, a stone was then rolled away after they put him in there for multiple reasons. One reason was for animals, to make sure the animals didn't come in and tear the body up and make sure that they protected his body. But the real reason why that stone was put there was not for that. The real reason was because the Roman government was afraid that his followers were going to come and steal his body away and claim that he had risen from the dead. Because they knew that he had talked about that. That was the real reason. They also did it for the stench of the decay of the bodies that were in that grave. They wanted to make sure that the smell did not come out. Most of all, because of the Roman government, though, there was a silence throughout the next day because of Passover, and they could not go to finish the preparations for burial, so they had to wait. They had to wait. Today's part of the story begins with the women on the way to the tomb. In Luke 24. Luke 24:1 says this. And I'm telling you his story. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." I'm going to stop right there. Taking the spices they had prepared. The custom was to take strips of cloth and take sweet-smelling spices and olive oil and oils and rub them all over these cloths and grind them into it so that they would help cover the stench of the decay of the body as they prepared to do something later on. The custom was to take those things, and they would take and wrap those bodies to cover that smell. They would wait for years until nothing was left but the bones. And they would take the bones of their beloved that had passed on, and they would take those bones and they would put them inside of a box. After all the flesh was decayed, everything was gone, they would take those bones, put them in a box that would save space, and they would take it and leave it in the tomb with the rest of the family. Which, that while I was studying this, this is a side note and I got to hurry. While I was studying this, they would leave it in the tomb with the rest of the family. Think about this. Jesus was in a borrowed grave. It wasn't his family's grave. It wasn't his... Listen, now, spiritually, they were his family. But understand this. Jesus didn't... There was no reason for him to stay in that tomb, because that's not what his... Come on, are y'all with me? Okay. That's not a fully fleshed out thought. I just wanted to throw that out there. But it would help with the smell. They'd take the bones, put them in the ornate box that was left in the tomb with the rest of the family. This is what they came prepared for. It says the spices they had prepared. Everybody say prepared. Prepared. The women that were on their way to the tomb were prepared for death. They were prepared to find death. They're on the way to a grave, so that's sort of what they expected. And that's what we expect when we go to the graveyard. I don't expect to see Mama Juju sitting on top of her grave, okay, when I go to visit her. Or I don't expect to see my grandmother or my grandfather sitting on a bench next to their grave saying, "Hey, I've been waiting for you to come and visit," when I go to visit their grave. I don't expect that. I expect there to be death there. They showed up expecting death. It shows that they had completely forgotten about the promise that he would come back in 3 days. They had completely forgotten about all of that. They were prepared to find death, disappointment, and despair. You got to think, they had to travel right by where their Savior had hung 2 days prior, 3 days prior. They had to travel right by Golgotha, where they heard him utter his last words, "It is finished." And it reminded them of the pain that they had just experienced. It reminded them that their Savior was gone. It reminded them that their friend and their loved one and the one that they had poured 3 years into were gone, was gone. I imagine they were crying and they were hurting when they got to the tomb. It says that the tomb was nearby Golgotha. They had spent hours the night before getting things ready and just right for honoring the dead. They had performed the ritual. They had gotten everything performed. They had put the spices on the strips. They had poured the oils on the strips. They had the boxes of the fabric with them. And they showed up and they were prepared for a ritual, not a resurrection. They were prepared for a process, not a promise. Are you with me? They were prepared for a process, not a promised return. Luke 24, verses 2 and 3 says, "And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Come on, somebody, give God praise. But look at this. Verse 3, "But when they went in, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed," I forgot to put this one on there, "while they were perplexed about this." They were perplexed about this. They were perplexed. That means confused. They were going, "Huh?" "Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel." Can I ask you a question? As you got up this morning and prepared to walk into this church, what were you preparing for today? A process or a celebration of a resurrection? Did you come with sweet-smelling spirits and sweet-smelling worship that you expected to cover this place with? Or did you come ready to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in living color and moving and impacting your life when you walked into this room? It's great to bring the spices. It's great to bring all the smell them goods, okay? Please, smell good when you come into the room. But I would much rather you show up ready to experience the living, breathing Word of God and the power of a living God who has not, who has been, who always will be, and will be to come. Come on, are you with me? They were prepared for a process. Are you prepared for a process today? Are you prepared for a promise? We put our Easter Sunday best on, our brightest colors. Listen, look at me. I'm wearing my Easter my pink Easter egg shirt. That's what I call this shirt, my pink Easter egg shirt. Some of you got the memo. I see some pink out there. Y'all look good. If you ain't wearing pink, you don't look. No, I'm not going to say that. But the thing is, I dressed up nice. I look good, okay? I know I'm a little dressed down for some people, but that's okay. I feel like I look good. I came dressed in my Sunday best. We make sure that we smell good, we look good, we sound good. Even at churches, we do the same thing. Pastors, we go around during the week before. We've been working this week, y'all. We've been making sure that the place is clean. We make sure that the lights are working. We make sure that the projections are working. We make sure that outside looks good. The grass is cut. Y'all have to excuse me. We make sure all of that is done. And we practice and we get things ready. We make sure that all the staff has everything perfect. We make sure we've got Easter baskets. We make sure we've got this, we've got that. We've got visitors in place. We've got all the processes done. We make sure we do all of these things. But are we going through a process? Did we come to cover the stench of spiritual death inside of our church? Or did we come to celebrate the fulfillment of a promised return? That's what's most important. Are we prepared for the right things this morning? This is not Easter as normal. It should never be as Easter as normal. We should be in awe and astonished every morning that we get the opportunity to worship a God that's living unlike any other religion in this world, who you can find their prophets in a grave. You can find them in a tomb, but you can't find ours. That's not normal. We need to be prepared for more than a ritualistic process, but for the fulfillment of the ultimate promise of life and love and power over death, hell, and the grave. Whether we show up in designer suits or in grave clothes, the celebration of the promised return needs to be our focus. The story continues. These men in shiny clothes tell the rest of the story of the resurrection better than I ever could. Verses 5 and 6 says, "And as they were frightened," talking about the ladies, "as they were frightened," which you would be frightened too if two men in shiny clothes all of a sudden showed up next to you. One of you laughed. I like it. "As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" And then the most powerful words, "He is not here, but has risen." Can we just thank Him for a moment? We thank You, God, that we serve a God that is not in a grave. We serve a God who has overcome death, hell, and the grave for us. Thank You, Jesus. I love the fact that there's continuity with God. God does not break from what He does. He's faithful and He's true, and He has continuity. This may not even be a spiritual thing, but it's just something that I found really cool and that I want to share with you today. I love the fact that there's continuity with Him. He doesn't do anything by accident, but He connects things through Scripture so that we can draw lines of understanding in His Word and in His works. It amazes me that God had enough forethought to look at the angels and say, "Watch this." I want to pay attention real close, church. He said, "Watch this." He sent angels to announce the promised King's birth. Think. Angels announced it to the mother, Mary. Angels announced it to the father, Joseph. Angels announced it to the shepherds. As Jesus was taking His first breath, the angels were announcing to the shepherds, "For unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given." He also sent angels to announce the promised return. "He is not here. He is risen. He is risen." He sent the angels to announce that promised return as well. They were completing the announcement given 33 years earlier when He was born. "Unto you a Savior is given. Unto you a child is born." They were completing that statement. "He is not here. He is still the Savior that we promised 33 years ago. He is still the Savior that is alive and well. He still breathes. He still lives. He still moves. He still saves." These angels were reminding the women of the promise that He gave. They were reminding Him of the promise of the return. In verses 6 and 7 it says, "He is not here, but has risen. Remember how He told you." Right there, they noticed that they've forgotten what the promise was. Church, we can't forget what the real promise is. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise. Jesus said those words. We know that they had forgotten because it says in verse 8, then they remembered. We all need a reminder every now and then of the promises of God. The world will try to drown those promises out. The world will try to convince you that they're not on their way. The world will try to convince you that it's not going to happen. Right now, there's people all across the world that are saying, if he hasn't come in 2,000 years, then he's not going to come. And they will try to squash the promise of God. But I promise you, God is faithful and he keeps his promises. Listen, this is where our message takes a turn today. This is where I want to turn a little bit, not away from the grave, but a continuation of the promised return of the grave. A continuation of the reason why he is there. Luke, what these angels, again, this is where God says, tell them I keep my promises. You've heard the story. You've heard the importance of being prepared for the promise. But right here, Jesus is telling us, I keep my promises. God is telling us, I keep my promises. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33 says this. This is something that Jesus said way back in Luke 18. He said, and taking the 12, he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. After flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Jesus himself made a promise in that moment. He made a promise, I will rise. This is the promise from Jesus himself, a foretelling of what would happen. Let's take a closer look, okay? Jesus said, for he will be delivered over to the Gentiles. Check. He will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. The scriptures tell us that he was so shamefully treated. They took a crown of thorns, put it on his head, didn't set it there, but they pounded it into his skull until those thorns probably penetrated his own skull. He was spit on by the soldiers as they beat him, and they mocked him, took a robe and threw it on his back after he was whipped. I say this almost every Easter. I wonder if the blood had time to dry before they took it off. Because I'm sure they didn't gently take it off of his back. I'm sure they ripped it, and ripping with it flesh and muscle. Mocked and shamefully treated and spit on. Check. And after flogging him, they will kill him. Check. And on the third day, I'm getting my check mark ready. On the third day, he will rise. That's not a check mark. That's a check mark, an X. That's a star. That's everything you could imagine right there. Come on. It took some time. And it didn't happen the way that the disciples wanted it to happen. But Jesus fulfilled every bit of that prophecy. The promise to his people. He keeps his promises. I got to this point in my studies and I felt the Spirit of God grab my heart and grab the steering wheel of this message and gently pull, saying, there is one promise. And that some of y'all are going to go, what? There's one promise that is yet to be fulfilled. Throughout of all of Scripture, there's only one promise left. Every other promise has been fulfilled. Now, I know God may have given you personal promises through your prayer time and through your own study time, and those are great. And the thing is, God is faithful to those promises just as he is to the promises in the Word of God. But there's still one promise that is yet to be fulfilled. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Or I would have told you that I... If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Right there is a promise. Right there is a promised return that is yet to be fulfilled. I will come again and take you to myself. That where I am, you may all be also. I know this is a little bit different of an Easter message. Because we want to hear about all the spectacular miracles that happen on Easter. We want to hear about the grave opening up. We want to hear about the victory we have. Listen, we've got victory over the grave. We have victory over sickness. We have victory over sin. All because of the blood of Christ. All because of the resurrection of Christ. But this morning, for some reason, God wanted me to go back to the promised return. Not just of his return from death, but his return from heaven to come back to get us. Because there are people in this room that you're sitting there thinking, I've got time. I've been hearing it ever since I was 7 years old or 6 years old when I could actually understand what was being preached by the preacher. We're living in the last days. And you know what? We are. But days are different to us than they are him. The Bible says that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So according to God's calendar, Jesus has only been gone 2 days. Okay? And I want you to understand something. Right there, somebody's rationalizing your sin, and you're rationalizing your sin. Well, that means I've got a whole another 1,000 years that I can wait because he came back up for 3 days. Last time, he's going to do the same. No, you don't know that. Don't rationalize that. Don't try to make a way for you to skirt the line of sin. Because Jesus is coming back, but you may not be here when he does. Your last breath could come in the next 5 seconds. We're not promised tomorrow. God never promised us tomorrow. What he did promise us was a place to go afterwards. Are you with me? One promise Jesus has left undone is found in this verse. I will return. I argued with God about this message, and I was like, this is not where we need to go on an Easter. And he said, yes, it is, because somebody needs to know that I promise I'm coming back, and to stop questioning. He says the reason my return from the grave is there is so they can be prepared for my final promise. Rejoice, the promised king has come. Remember, the promised grace has been given to us. The price has been paid in the blood of Christ, through the blood of Christ, and we have been forgiven. The promised sacrifice has been given, and we are free. Celebrate that Jesus was true to his word and the promised return from the grave. His victory over the grave signals the enemy's ultimate defeat. But I want you to understand there's still a promise to be fulfilled. Know that a day is coming where his final promise will be fulfilled. Again, God uses the angels to announce it to us. In Acts, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his people. And again, God is faithful to his promises. He uses, and I want you to notice again, This is so cool, y'all. This is the reason why I brought it up. Angels announced his birth. Angels announced his resurrection. Angels announced his return. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, verses 10 and 11, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, all the disciples, go ahead and stand with me. All the disciples standing around staring into the sky. Wow, that's cool. He's standing on a cloud, y'all. I'm sure some tears were shed. I'm sure that things were emotional. But while they were standing, gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes. That reminds you of anybody? Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you to heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. The final promise will be fulfilled. The question is, are you going to be prepared for it? Are you going to be carrying spices for the dead, spiritual life that you live? Or are you expecting his return to be living and breathing? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you be prepared? God tells you today, I keep my promises. But you have to stay ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, you know what? We've all heard this before. Those of you that have never heard this full story of Christ, you've heard the full story now. He came as a promised king. He came as a sacrifice that promised us grace. And he came back as and returned as he promised. There's one promise left. Are you ready for it? Maybe today you're not living for God, or maybe today you've rejected him, saying, I'm not sure he's really there. I'm not sure he's coming back. I'm not sure that I've got to live the way that you tell me I got to live. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be animate. I don't have to be in church every single time to be saved. I don't have to pray every single day. I don't have to read my... No, but you got to have a relationship with God. That's the most important thing. And how do you build a relationship? By spending time with him. By abiding in him. You're not here by accident today. Because Jesus wants you to abide with him and be prepared for his promise. If you're in this room and you want to prepare your heart for that return of Christ, whether it be in the next 5 seconds or in the next 5 years or in the next 50 years, it doesn't matter. Because the longer you live with him, the closer you can be with him. But you've got to start somewhere. If that's you today and you want to say, I want that relationship with Jesus. I want that relationship with God that I've never had before. I have skirted the relationship with him. I maybe have had small relationship with him, but I want to fully buy into everything that he is and everything that he has, because I want to be prepared for his return and I want to abide with him. If that's you today and you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ and I want to ask him to be my personal Lord and Savior and my King, who is not in control for part of my life, but for every part of my life. If that's you, then right now I invite you to raise your hand real briefly and put it right back down. Anybody in the room? Come on. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't play games with God, because I guarantee you'll lose. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray a spirit of God to be poured out over this congregation right now. That God, we would do more than just go through the motions. that we would seek your face. And we would celebrate the fact, Lord, that we have a returning king. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, right now, touch us today and search our hearts. Search our hearts today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Know my life, you have been faithful.
Come on, sing that together.
Know my life, you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am made, I will say of the goodness of God.
Oh, my life. That's a promise.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
Oh, come on, do you believe it? Sing it out today.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I'll give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
One more time, all my life.
All my life, you have been faithful.
Every part, Lord.
All my life, you have been so, so good.
Every breath.
Every breath that I have made. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord Jesus, let us remember that goodness. Lord, when you say, when we say all my life you've been faithful, we mean it. You have seen through every promise that you have given us. Every one of them. And Lord, one day you're going to make that last promise true. One day you're going to fulfill that last promise. And I pray that every person in this room is ready. I pray that every person in this room is ready for your return. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.